Wednesday, September 20th, 2023. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. I hope your week is going well. I hope that you, your family, your friends, everyone in your world is staying strong and staying healthy right now. And of course, the big news in my neck of the woods is, of course, that Rocky Mountain College Football Showdown that took place this last weekend in Boulder, Colorado, just up the road from myself. You know, we had number 18 at the time, Colorado, hosting unranked and winless Colorado State up in Boulder. Colorado, of course, was a 23.5 point favorite, and I will be totally honest. I kind of got the best of all worlds watching this game. Because, see, my home state of Colorado has this history of primarily really, really awful college football. A military academy is consistently the best team in the state and has been for decades now. But now we have Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, and his transfer portal roster generating a lot of excitement up in Boulder. ESPN Game Day was up there. The Rock came and sat on the panel to represent the Colorado Buffaloes. By the way, why was The Rock up there? Does no one remember what he actually did to Colorado when he was at the University of Miami playing football and there was a full-blown bench-clearing brawl up in Boulder between CU and Miami? Yeah, apparently CU fans forgot about that. Lil Wayne put on a little show for the Buffs to come out of the tunnel. Boulder was absolutely buzzing all weekend. And not just from all the weed for a change. A little bit different. This was for football. You had Colorado, prior to the game, talking all kinds of trash, wearing their sunglasses, saying how CSU couldn't hang with them. We have video of that on the field, talking about how Colorado State couldn't hang with them. Teams are pushing back and forth before the game ever began. You had Colorado State starting a freshman at quarterback for the first time in his career. They benched the veteran. They brought in the new kid into a game that has national implications. Everyone is watching. Hey, kid, welcome to the show. And then we kicked off, and then we got about 3.5 hours of pure entertainment. Hey, give them credit. Colorado State was not intimidated. They came out and they gave Colorado all that they wanted. And I will say this, their head coach, Jay Norvell, he clearly told them to go out and be physical with Colorado. To their own detriment, I might add. Because my assumption is that Jay Norvell said, go out and be physical. Be physical, what was it Bobby Bowden said? To the echo of the whistle? I feel like he kind of told them that. And as kids are wont to do, they did that and then some. Even to the point of being illegal. Even to the point of maybe costing themselves the win because of hitting late, because of personal fouls. Far too many penalties on both sides, but predominantly against Colorado State. We definitely saw some over-exuberance by the Rams against CU. But then it was kind of interesting to watch, too. Because for all of the pregame trash talk, for all of the fans saying Colorado State can't hang, for the players on the field, even in the camera, saying they can't hang with us, Colorado State hit CU in the mouth, and the Buffs all started crying, saying, why are they hitting us like this? They're just being mean. It's kind of interesting. I mean, do you really not know? I have been saying all season that Colorado wide receiver slash cornerback Travis Hunter, who has been playing both sides of the ball, complete games, he's been playing like 130 plays, he was at serious risk of injury. And of course he got injured. Now, he got injured on a late illegal hit, but he got hit in the midsection, and now they're talking about he has like a lacerated liver or something. He ended up in the hospital. But again, you play 130 plays, you talk a lot of trash, guys are going to take shots at you. Hey, it was a rivalry game. It was hard hitting. It was a little dirty. Colorado State safety Henry Blackburn, a Boulder kid, no less, gave Hunter that late hit that ended his night, and sounds like it's going to cost him a few more weeks, too. It wasn't just Colorado State. CU quarterback Shedeur Sanders tried to poke Colorado State linebacker Muhammad Kamara in his eyeballs. Hey, it was chippy. But I'll say this, it was really, really fun. Colorado comes back from down 11 in the fourth quarter to force overtime. It then went to a second overtime. And when Colorado intercepted the freshman quarterback on the final play to win the double overtime thriller, 43-35, the students at Boulder poured out onto the field to celebrate. Let me repeat what I just said. You might not have heard me. The number 18 team in the country that was favored by 23.5 points ran the field for beating the school without a win on the season. And of course, we know CU fans and a lot of the media all said the same thing. Hey, they're just excited. They aren't used to winning. This is all new to them, and they're just having fun. But I'm just watching, and I'm just laughing. I'm just cracking up, going, they ran the field twice this year now for beating, wait for it, Nebraska and Colorado State, two schools that don't have a win on the year. Now, here's the deal for Colorado. Colorado, with Coach Prime, they want to be taken seriously. They're like, hey, we're a serious contender. The next 2 weeks are going to tell us a lot about this Colorado team. They go to Oregon. Autzen Stadium is no joke. And then they will host Southern California. And Colorado wants to convince us, hey, we're legit. We can go to a big bowl game. We can compete with anyone nationally. But if you want to be taken seriously, I'm going to give you some free advice on how to get people to take you a little more seriously as a college football powerhouse. Free advice. Take from it what you will. First, if you want to be taken seriously, you can't storm the field for beating who you're supposed to beat. Like, Alabama doesn't storm the field if they beat LSU. They expect to beat LSU. Southern Cal doesn't storm the field if they beat Stanford. They plan on beating Stanford. And I know you're saying, but it's all new to us. I understand. I'm trying to teach you. Stay with me. Secondly, if you want to be taken seriously, I don't know if you wear your sunglasses to every single press conference. Like, you might take them off now and again. And that's something that goes forward just in life. I think that applies. If you go to a job interview, you might take the sunglasses, maybe the hat off. Just throwing that out there. Just some life advice that might help you. And I guess my problem with it is it feels gimmicky. It feels like you have props. And it feels kind of corny. If you would like to be taken seriously, you probably don't trash talk unranked teams. Colorado's doing a lot of trash talking. They're talking a lot at Nebraska. They're talking a lot against Colorado State. Are you going to talk against Oregon? I want to see if you're out at midfield showing the wrist. Because I don't know if you want to do that. But I don't know that you should be trash talking unranked teams. I mean, if you play a JV, you expect to beat them. I don't know that you trash talk them. If you would like to be taken seriously as a college football program, University of Colorado, you probably shouldn't have like a 19-inch Zenith TV as your stadium scoreboard. We saw the pictures of you storming the field, and up in the corner, we see Michael Scott's flat screen. Yeah, that's not embarrassing at all. Finally, Colorado. If you want to be taken seriously on a national level, you don't have The Rock, a University of Miami guy, be your rep on a national college football show. That's not what you do. Why would you go get someone else from a different school? We know where The Rock went to school. He went to Miami. He came to see you and he kicked your butt when he was there. So why would you have him back? It makes no sense to me. Come on, Colorado. You have some history. Why wouldn't you go to your history? Why wouldn't you go get one of your famous alumni to be on College Game Day You have some people that went on and did some things. You have some people that up at Colorado did some things. Go get one of them to be on the show. I mean, Eric Bieniemy, he's done pretty well for himself. Why wouldn't you get him? You could have went and got him. He is now the offensive coordinator at Washington. He was in town for the Bronco game. You could have got him. You could have got Katie Hinida. She's probably not doing anything.
How dare you?
You go get Ray Carruth. Come on, Colorado. Embrace your past is what I'm saying. Hey, before we jump in today, just want to remind you to be sure that you are stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every week because we have new articles going up there every single week. In fact, if you checked in this week, you might have saw that I handed out some highs and some lows from a wild weekend here in the Rocky Mountain region. But we also have links to the podcast. We have links to the YouTube video. And yes, we have links to Daily Dose gear. You need a new t-shirt. You need a new sweatshirt. You need a new hoodie. Maybe a coffee mug for that desk. Go over to DailyDoseSports.com and find exactly what you need. And you know, just recently, we've had a number of people actually going over there and purchasing some items. We appreciate that so much. So make sure that you get yours as well. Hey, today on the show, the Major League Baseball playoffs are coming quickly. Do you realize we are now like 10, 12 days out from the postseason beginning? Yeah, the playoffs are coming fast. So who are the top teams as we finish up that regular season? Going to be looking at those. College football is now about a month in, and we're still trying to figure out who the big dogs really are. We'll be looking at college football as well. And the NFL is now a whopping 2 weeks in, but we are watching what is going on in the NFL, and we're trying to weed out who are the top teams, and we might look at some other things as well. Because today we will be bringing you some Daily Dose Power Rankings, and we will be providing the top teams in each of these sports this week. But first, let's jump into a little bit of sports news, and let's start in the world of college football, where Michigan State has made the decision to start the process of terminating head football coach Mel Tucker for cause after an investigation into sexual harassment claims. Now, the school previously suspended Tucker without pay while they completed their investigation into those allegations. And now, just 18 days later, the school has announced they will start the process to fire him with cause. Athletic Director Alan Haller had this to say, "I, with the support of administration and board, have provided Mel Tucker with written notice of intent to terminate his contract for cause. This notification process is required as part of his existing contract. The notice provides Tucker with 7 calendar days to respond and present reasons to me and the interim president as to why he should not be terminated for cause. This action does not conclude the ongoing Office for Civil Rights case. That rigorous process will continue." Now, look, I know in this era that we're all living in, there is this current narrative around a case like this that you never question a female. I get it. I don't really agree with it, but I get it. But I do have to ask, in this Mel Tucker case, which they say he brought in a sexual assault specialist to speak to his team about, you know, the goods, the bads, the to-dos, the not-to-dos, about working with other females, dealing with females, just how you treat other people. And then they say that this female that came in and Mel Tucker entered into some sort of relationship. He was asking her to come see him. They were talking on the phone. They were texting. And then she says that while on like a Zoom call or whatever, I don't want to hammer Zoom, I'm just saying, some sort of video call, that he was pleasuring himself while talking to her. She says at that point, she felt sexually assaulted, and this has all stemmed from that. However, I've got to ask this. And again, I know we're not supposed to question this, but I do have to ask this. If that happened, and it was as terrible as she claims it was, then why was she still talking to and texting him personal messages, not business messages, because you say, well, she had to, it's for business. No, 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 personal messages long, long after that incident. That seems a little bit strange to me. Don't get me wrong. Mel Tucker is an absolute idiot for getting involved in this. Is it a fireable offense to be an idiot? I'm not sure. I'm sure there is some sort of verbiage in there that says if you do something that we deem impropriety, then we can fire you. And that's how they're going to get this. But in regards to Mel Tucker's contract, he was due to be paid $95 million over 10 years after signing an extension just in 2021. When hired in East Lansing, Tucker's original contract was just $5.5 million a year. And then that big extension came in after his first season, which was pretty solid. And now he hasn't done so well record-wise. Here's my concern. Please tell me that if he was winning, if he was getting Michigan State to compete in the Big Ten and maybe for national titles, they would still be talking about firing. Because I'm not sure I believe that. I think they found a loophole in that deal, and they're taking it. And for that, he is culpable because you allowed this to happen. I'm just not so sure about the accuracy of this story because it does seem a little weird that she kept the relationship going after she had been so-called assaulted. One more very strange story coming out of the NFL, I guess. And I'm not sure what to make of this. Maybe you can figure out. We're going to turn this over to our Unsolved Mystery group within the Daily Dose. Sergio Brown played defensive back in the NFL from 2010 to 2016 with the New England Patriots, the Indianapolis Colts, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Buffalo Bills. He actually graduated from Proviso East High School, and then he attended Notre Dame. Well, authorities searched Monday for the former football player after his 73-year-old mother's body was found near a creek behind her suburban Chicago home. Police are ruling it a homicide. But relatives told officers Saturday that they can't find Brown. He's 35 years old, and they couldn't find his mother. So they found his mother dead in the creek, and it's been over a week. And people close to the situation say that Brown had been acting really strange for the past year. And that the last anyone saw of him was on a Ring camera where he was taking trash out. And they say possibly burning some of his mother's clothing. Now, there are some rumors on social media that Sergio Brown had posted a video from Mexico on social media, but then removed it. Okay, what in the world is going on here? I have no idea. This is absolutely crazy. Hey, don't get me wrong. I know some people come out of Notre Dame and they do maybe, let's say, some bad things. But this seems really, really bad. There is a possibility we have a former NFL player that killed his own mother? Kind of scary. Police literally have a warrant out looking for this guy to try to figure out what in the world is going on. Here's the information that the police are sending out. If you happen to see Sergio Brown, you might want to call into the tip hotline. They say if you encounter Sergio Brown, you might want to treat him as though he could be dangerous. They say he's about 6'2", about 210 pounds, and he could be driving a white Ford Bronco.
It was revealed today that O.J. Simpson told police that Nicole Brown Simpson used to beat him up. He also claimed that she and Ron Goldman killed him.
Okay, coming back. The Major League Baseball season is winding down. The playoffs are going to be here in less than 2 weeks. So, who do we have right now as the top five teams in MLB? Going to break those down. We're also going to take a look at some college football. We are now about a month into the season. We're starting to get a feel for who is who. We're going to be breaking down our top five college football teams in the country as well when we get back. So the Major League Baseball regular season now has about a week and a half left in it. Teams only have like 8 to 10 games remaining, and then we are going to be off to what should be a very, very highly entertaining postseason. I think with the rule changes that have come in this year, I'll be honest, this might be a baseball playoffs that I am looking forward to more than I ever have in the past. But as we head into this postseason, who truly are the teams to watch? And it is really difficult to calculate that over the year, mostly because the season is so long. You figured they started back, what, I don't know, February? But you'll see teams peak. You'll see teams dive. You'll see them go through hot streaks. You'll see players go through hot streaks and slumps. Meanwhile, you're trying to figure out, what is what? This team just beat the best team in the league, I thought, but then got swept by the worst team in the league. I don't understand what in the world is going on. So we have to try to gather all of the information and then try to gauge exactly what is what. And I'll be honest, it's not easy, because there are teams that are going to just miss this cut. And we know that teams that are just sometimes scraping into the playoffs, they've still managed to make some noise in the MLB playoffs, especially lately, the way they've reformatted it. So I'm going to lay out the top five teams right now in Major League Baseball. Just know there are going to be some teams you might not be happy they didn't make it. You might not like my rankings and say this team's too high, this team's too low. Hey, like I said, over the last few seasons, we've seen some other teams sneak in and make some noise in these playoffs. But right now, here are the top five teams that I have in Major League Baseball. And I'm going to start with a team that has been kind of a mystery to me this year. But I do know this. I know that they are capable of being a contender. Now, it's not just me. You can sit there and say, well, Clint, you can't figure them out. You probably don't watch them enough. Hey, it's not just me. No one can figure out the Houston Astros this year. They started the season pretty slow. Then they got hot. They started to climb. Then they slide. They sweep the Boston Red Sox. Hey, Houston looks pretty good. Then they get swept by the New York Yankees. What? They whip the Texas Rangers. They beat the San Diego Padres. Then they get shelled by the Oakland A's. I don't understand what is going on with Houston. It makes no sense whatsoever. But I am going to place the Houston Astros at number five on my list today. And I'm thinking, because we've seen so many highs and so many lows with this goofy team, that it's probably just a matter of them focusing on what's directly in front of them. Hey, this is a team that has won titles. They know what it takes. So are they going to lose too much sleep over a series in April? No, they probably don't. And maybe that's how they're going into this. Maybe that's how they're treating it. Maybe that's why we saw them get beat by some bad teams. But they do have that championship experience. Once the games actually matter, then I think Houston is going to be a problem again. One major factor in their favor, they seem to be getting healthy at the right time. If they have everyone back, and they have dealt with a lot of injuries this year, no, they won't be the dominant team that they have been, or even the team they were last year. But the Houston Astros are still a threat to win it all. And for that reason, I'm going to put them here on our power rankings at number five. Up next at four, I am always big on this team because every year they do more and they do it without spending any money, and they do that better than anyone. The problem is that right now, the Tampa Bay Rays, they're a little banged up. And so I'm going to put them at number four. Now, Jose Siri has just been added to their already large injury list. And that's a big hit because he's a very talented center fielder and he does a little bit of everything. But here's the weird thing about Tampa Bay. It seems like every single time this franchise loses someone, they figure it out. They have an answer. They just plug another no-name player in there and they seem to just keep rolling. Do you realize this year, with, again, no payroll, and the fact that they have had all these injuries, the Tampa Bay Rays are close to having a plus 200 run differential? I mean, they're still getting things done. They're still able to plug and play. I don't know how they do it, but they're doing it. Not only have they had to overcome injuries, which they have, they've even had to overcome some weird off-field drama with a player being accused of some awful stuff with a minor, possibly. But hey, say what you will about Tampa, they just keep winning. Now, what if they got a few of those injuries back? What if they got some people back and healthy again? I don't know. The Rays still may be able to make some noise. I'm going to put them right now at number four, though. Up at number three, I am going to place the team that is battling with the Rays for the American League East, and that, of course, is the Baltimore Orioles. In fact, these two teams are battling for the top seed in the American League, and that top spot is going to be very, very valuable. Not only do you get home field, which is huge, obviously, but you also get that first round bye. That would be really, really big for Tampa. These two battled over the weekend, and again, they split the series 2-2. So it's going to come down to these last 8-10 games as to who actually gets that top spot. The crazy thing about Baltimore is this is a really good, talented team, but it's also a really young team. Now, on the positive to that youth, they don't know they're not supposed to win. Everyone's like, you shouldn't be here. You don't have the experience. What are you doing? They have no idea. They're just like, hey, this is just how we roll, I guess. I don't know. We seem to be pretty good. What if we win at all? That is the positive. On the negative, they could have a letdown at literally any second because they just don't know. And they don't know how to win the postseason. They've never done it. But can you believe that the Baltimore Orioles have a legitimate shot at winning 100 games this year? This franchise has been terrible for so long. I still can't get my head around that. But they are really, really good. And they have some big bats. The Baltimore Orioles can hang with anyone. I'm going to put them at number three. Up at number two, and I struggle a little bit putting this team this high. But I just keep going back to one thing. If I were picking teams, and you gave me a playoff series, or you gave me a World Series, and I said, okay, who would you pick? Who would you favor in this series? I would pick this team to win a series over every team except for one. And for that reason, I put them at number two. So that means at number two, I am putting the Los Angeles Dodgers. Hey, if we end up with a series of LA versus the Orioles, I would favor the Dodgers. Versus the Rays, again, the Dodgers. Against the Astros, that might be a little closer, but I would favor the Dodgers in a postseason series. So for that reason, I am placing LA right here. They hold a solid lead in the NL West, which ended up being actually quite a bit better than anyone thought. But I mean, when you think about this team has a lineup of Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts and Max Muncy and JD Martinez, this is a roster that looks like an all-star team. Do I have concerns over their starting pitching? Of course I do. I do every year. Even when it's totally loaded and we look at it and say, I don't know, they don't seem to have any weaknesses. No, this year they definitely have weaknesses. Am I concerned about that bullpen? Yes, even more so. But I don't know. That lineup is just so big that I can't see picking against them. And so for that reason, I am placing the LA Dodgers at number two on our Daily Dose Power Rankings. So we reach our number one team in Major League Baseball as we get ready to head into this postseason in just about a week and a half. And who else could this go to? It has to go, of course, to the Atlanta Braves. This team is an absolute machine. They have consistently been the best team in baseball all year, and they are considered the heavy favorites to win the World Series. Hey, they should be. The Braves have more balance than anyone in the league. They should win their 100th game later this week, and their run differential is a plus 233. Hey, that is ridiculous. But what don't the Braves have? They've got pitching, starting, and the bullpen. They've got offense. They've got defense. Ronald Acuña Jr. is a star. Austin Riley, Matt Olson, they are a dangerous trio. And right now, I would pick the Atlanta Braves over any team in Major League Baseball in a series. Now, like I said earlier, having said all this, having broken down our top five, we know that in so many years, hey, you get a hot team, you get a hot lineup, you get a hot pitcher or a hot bullpen, and we see favorites go down in the MLB playoffs all the time. Usually, their name is the Los Angeles Dodgers, but you never know. Hey, it won't surprise me one bit to see a team like the Toronto Blue Jays, or maybe the Seattle Mariners, Texas Rangers, maybe even the Milwaukee Brewers. I do lose faith in the Brewers when we get into the postseason, but maybe they're going to prove they belong in this top five. Hey, the Major League Baseball playoffs are coming quickly, and I am actually, for a change, really, really looking forward to it. Hey, MLB playoffs is the one time of year I actually watch baseball pretty seriously. This year, with speeding up the game and some of the competitive teams that we have, I'm actually looking forward to it even more than usual. Okay, let's move over to college football because we are now about a month into the college football season. The hard part about ranking these top five teams is the fact that all these schedules are not created equal. I mean, some teams have played very tough early season teams. Others have coasted and haven't played anybody. So we have to try to look at, okay, what are we seeing? And then try to figure out how would it look if this team that's playing no one faced this team that did play a big dog, and it's kind of difficult. And what would happen if they played on a neutral field? Because I can't give you the advantage of playing at home. So how would it look if these two teams were playing each other on a neutral field? Who would I favor? That is how we come up with our Daily Dose Power Rankings. So right now, we are going to release our very first college football power rankings. And remember, we are basing this off of who we would favor if these teams were facing each other on that neutral field. You know, this past week, we actually didn't have a single game featuring two ranked opponents, and yet, it was still a highly entertaining week of football. Number 11, Tennessee, was upset by unranked Florida. Alabama had to scrape past South Florida. Number 15, Kansas State, fell to Missouri. Hey, I don't know, this might end up being a wild final season of college football as we currently know it. But let's jump into our Daily Dose Power Rankings. We're going to start off at number five with a team that might be really good. But it's really hard to tell because they haven't played anyone yet. But to be fair, they are beating those bad teams like they are bad teams. At number five, I'm going to place the Ohio State Buckeyes, who have whooped their first three opponents so far by a combined score of 121-20. Hey, that is certainly impressive. I know they started a little bit slow, especially offensively, but quarterback Kyle McCord, he seems to be figuring things out. Wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. might be the best player in the country. And the Buckeyes are kind of getting things rolling a little bit. Unfortunately, those three opponents that they beat by that huge score consist of Indiana, Youngstown State, and Western Kentucky. So are the Buckeyes actually good? I mean, I think so, but it's hard to tell. However, we're about to find out. Because this Saturday, Ohio State goes to South Bend to face number 9 Notre Dame and the Sam Hartman-led Fighting Irish. So I'm going to put Ohio State here at number 5 for now. Hey, they might stick there. They might move up this weekend, or they might prove that they don't actually belong on our list. But the Buckeyes come in at number 5. Next up at number 4, I'm going to take a team out of the Big 12, and that, of course, is the Texas Longhorns. They are coming off of a big win over Alabama a couple of weeks ago. And hey, that was a huge win. And it was on the road. They went to Tuscaloosa and beat Bama in their own backyard in front of all their fans and beat them by double digits. Okay, so why am I only putting the Longhorns at number 4? That might be one of the better wins we've seen this year. Probably because Alabama is looking very suspect. Alabama doesn't look, let's say, as elite as they have in past years, and they don't look like they have an elite quarterback, specifically. Now, don't get me wrong. Head coach Steve Sarkisian, he has quarterback Quinn Ewers playing really well right now. Their pass rush is highly dangerous. They can get to the passer. They have some big time speed all over the field. But I do also know in the back of my mind that Texas has had a knack for losing teams that they should be. Hey, they get up for Alabama. Cool. And then the next week, they drop off. We saw that this last week. They didn't look so great against Wyoming. After beating Bama, they got up for Bama, and then they didn't get up for Wyoming. It's not the first time. We've seen this before. Last year, they hung with Alabama. Then they got beat by Texas Tech. The year before, they lost to Kansas in a shootout. So what I want to see right now, can Texas just even make it to the Red River shootout against Oklahoma in a few weeks and maintain that clean record? I would think so. But then even after that, they're going to have Houston. You could slip. BYU and Kansas State, who is ranked. Now, I still believe Texas has a very nice path to get to the college football playoff. I picked them to go there. But they can't slip up against the lesser teams. And because of their tendency to do that in the past, I have the Texas Longhorns at number four. At number three, I'm going to go with the team that has probably had the most impressive win of the year so far. But then this past week, they nearly had the worst upset of the year so far. And that is the Florida State Seminoles. Hey, FSU opened their year by beating the LSU Tigers at a neutral site, I might add. And they did it pretty easily. What was it, 45-24? Three touchdowns? That's pretty solid. Hey, if I am being honest, there are times right now that I think LSU still might be the most complete SEC team in the country. They have talent on both sides, and Florida State absolutely handled them in that opener. However, then this past week, the Seminoles were nearly taken down by a pretty below average Boston College team. Well, get ready for another test, Florida State, because this Saturday, they go to Death Valley to face the Clemson Tigers, who, of course, already have an upset on their record. They got beat by Duke. Well, Clemson can't afford another loss. Florida State is hoping to make a run at that playoff. This Florida State versus Clemson game, this is another one of those early season playoff type games. Not a playoff game, but it's close. Right now, I have Florida State at number three. At number two, I am putting a team that I would favor on a neutral field over every team in the country right now, except one. And at number two, I have the Michigan Wolverines. Again, the problem I have with Michigan is they haven't played anyone. But they have won their three games by a combined score of 96-16. Unfortunately, it's been against teams like East Carolina, Nevada, Las Vegas, Bowling Green. So they haven't been tested at all. But they have now survived those first three games that they had to play without head coach Jim Harbaugh, who is serving a self-imposed suspension for some illegal contact back during the COVID season. Now they get Harbaugh back on the sideline. But here's what's kind of crazy. They've played those first three games against nobodies, but Michigan doesn't even play a ranked team until mid-November. So they should be able to cruise for like another 6 weeks without even being tested. Having said that, if Michigan plays a team on a neutral field, who would you favor over them right now? Yeah, not that many teams, not yet. We'll see how this shapes up. Right now, I have just one team ahead of them. So I will put the Maize and Blue at number two. Which brings me to my number one team that I would favor on a neutral field over everyone right now. But I'll say this, it feels real shaky because the Georgia Bulldogs are getting all of the votes in the polls. And I understand it completely because who else would you put over them? But Georgia looks like they have some flaws themselves. Again, the Bulldogs haven't played anyone, like no one with a pulse even. This past weekend, South Carolina gave them a test for three full quarters. In fact, Georgia trailed the Gamecocks by double digits at halftime. But then, like they usually do, they rallied to win their 20th game in a row. Georgia hasn't lost in 20 games. That's quite a span. Now, I'm not sure how much I believe in quarterback Carson Beck. Their running game looks very average, which doesn't help Beck either. I actually think the Georgia Bulldogs might be primed for an upset. However, they don't face a ranked opponent until the cocktail party against number 25 Florida in late October. So, is Georgia really the top team in the country? Honestly, I'm not sure. But if they played anyone on a neutral field, I would probably favor Georgia, at least right now, until I see otherwise. You know, we spoke of a few of those matchups that are coming this weekend. We have some very good ones. Obviously, Ohio State going to Notre Dame. We have Florida State going to Clemson. That's not all, though. We have a packed college football weekend. If you don't watch college football this weekend, I'm telling you, you're missing out. Number 19, Colorado, goes to number 10, Oregon. Number 22, UCLA, goes to number 11, Utah. Number 15, Ole Miss, goes to number 13, Alabama. That might be interesting. Number 14, Oregon State, plays number 21, Washington State. That is in Spokane. And number 24, Iowa, goes to Happy Valley to give number 7, Penn State, their first real test. Now, maybe we come out next week and we completely would have changed all five of these teams, but that is our Daily Dose college football top five, at least right now. Okay, coming back, we still need to get over to the NFL today. And not only are we going to be counting down the top five teams, but we're going to go to the other end of the spectrum too and count down those bottom five teams. I know, we're just 2 weeks in, but we're already starting to figure out who is who in the National Football League. We will count down the top five NFL teams and those bottom five when we get back. Okay, so the NFL is now 2 weeks in, and while we have such a long way to go, and we're going to be trying to solve the mystery of who is who for the next 5 months in that league, we are starting to figure out at least a little separation between at least the best teams and then the worst teams. Don't get me wrong. These things are going to change. Teams will improve. Teams will slide. We'll see injuries. We'll see attrition. But for right now, we are going to count down the bottom five teams in the NFL. I'm going to start at number 28. I'm going to work my way down. And starting at number 28, I am putting a very familiar team. Because yes, I'm talking about my Denver Broncos. The Broncos have opened the season 0-2, but it isn't just that they have lost those two games. It's who they lost to. Denver opened the season with two very close losses. First, the Las Vegas Raiders, and then to the Washington Commanders. Not only did they lose to both teams, they lost to them both at home. Now, maybe the Raiders and the Commanders end up being playoff quality teams, but I'll be honest, I kind of doubt it. However, the Broncos are right now in a very strange spot. Not where we expected them to be, because yes, the offense is still struggling at times. They scored just 16 points in that first game against the Raiders, then they scored 33 points at home on Sunday against Washington. Okay, cool. Maybe Sean Payton is fixing that offense. The problem now is the defense is awful too. They have been unable to get crucial stops when they need them, and they're showing weaknesses against both the pass and the run. Hey, if I had told you that the Denver Broncos' strength this year was going to be Russell Wilson and their offense, and they would have to overcome a bad defense instead, who would have believed it? And what's worse is I still don't think that offense is great. Russell Wilson is still under constant duress. And that is a recipe for disaster. Talked about it before. I believe Russell Wilson has PTSD. I believe that every time he is under a pass rush, you are taking your chances of him doing something crazy. Because he doesn't want to get hit anymore. He's been hit enough in his career. Well, on Sunday, he was sacked 7 times. He was hit 14 times. That's not good. I think the Broncos can improve this year because I think Sean Payton is a good enough coach. But this roster has flaws that can't be fixed right away. And you know the biggest problem? The biggest flaws on the roster are offensive line and defensive line. You can't hide those. That is the worst place to have your weaknesses, and that is what Denver has right now. And for that reason, I place the Denver Broncos at number 28. We drop down to number 29, where I am actually going to put a somewhat pleasant surprise. Look, I fully expected the Arizona Cardinals to be the worst team in the league this year. But I'll say this about them. They are actually playing pretty inspired football, and it is starting on the defensive side of the ball, where new defensive coordinator Nick Rallis has these guys playing extremely hard, if not extremely well. Because yes, the Arizona Cardinals are 0-2, but I'll say this, at least they're battling. They lost by 4 points to Washington, and then they lost by a field goal to the New York Giants this week. New quarterback Josh Dobbs, he's in a really tough spot. He doesn't have a whole lot around him, and he's doing the best job that he can. The Cardinals' ownership is blatantly trying to tank. Hey, this team is hoping to burn it down, draft some new talent, and start over, but I will give the Arizona Cardinals this. They're at least playing hard. They're trying to win. They're just not very good, and I'm going to put them at number 29. We're going to let a little more out of the pool here, and we're going to drop down to number 30, where I'm going to put the Indianapolis Colts. Now, this might feel a little unfair because the Colts actually have a win. So why in the world do I have them this low? Well, because the team they beat is also going to be on this list just a little bit later. Now, the Colts are not just an aging team, and they're not just a team without a quarterback. They don't have a ton of talent on this team anywhere anymore. Now, we have to add into the mix the fact that rookie quarterback Anthony Richardson has suffered a head injury in each of the Colts' first two games. That's not good. We know once you get a head injury, you are more apt to continue to get head injuries. He's had two head injuries in 2 weeks. This is the future of your franchise? Yeah, that's not ideal. This feels like it could be very tenuous. The Colts are going to have to turn the reins over to veteran Gardner Minshew, which honestly, that might not be that bad. Minshew has played for some bad teams. Minshew has some experience. He might actually be better off right now than Anthony Richardson was. The problem is that running back Jonathan Taylor, he's still holding out. He's still not playing. And even when he does come back, he's not going to be 100%. He sat out too long. So this feels to me like the Colts situation could get a little bit worse as players start to check out, as players start to get injured, as players start to go on their own agenda. I have the Colts at number 30. We'll see where they go from here. We slide down to number 31, and I am going to place the Chicago Bears at the second to last spot. For some reason, I don't know why, the Chicago Bears were kind of like a trendy pick in the offseason, that they were going to be a much improved team, and that quarterback Justin Fields, he is going to wow the league, he is going to set the league on fire, and everyone is going to realize how good this guy is. Or maybe not. Because the Bears, they haven't even really competed in a game yet. They were smoked 38-20 in week one by their rival, the Green Bay Packers. Hey, when it was Brett Favre blowing them out, okay. Aaron Rodgers blowing them out, okay. Jordan Love blew them out. That dude can't even take a snap without falling down. No, literally. Then, this past Sunday, they were beaten by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Again, not a great team themselves. And Tampa beat Chicago by double digits, too. The Bears can't run the football, which would help take some pressure off of Fields. They don't have very good receivers. Their defense can't rush the passer. They are allowing 33 points per game to two teams that probably aren't going to score that much again the rest of this year. The Chicago Bears are a mess. I have them at number 31 in our bottom five. So we finish off our Daily Dose NFL bottom five today, and I'm going to put the team that right now looks like the worst team in the NFL. And that, of course, is those Houston Texans. Houston is also 0-2. They have losses to Baltimore. They were blown out in week one. And then this week, they lost to those Colts that came in at number 30. And they lost to Indy by double digits. Now, rookie quarterback C.J. Stroud, he actually had a pretty impressive game on Sunday. Stroud threw for 384 yards, but he was also sacked six times. He was hit a lot. Houston is really struggling to run the ball. The offensive line isn't very good. And while rookie Will Anderson is showing some promise on the defensive side, the rest of that defense, it's pretty bad. They can't pressure the quarterback consistently. They can't stop the run consistently. The Houston Texans just missed getting the top pick in the NFL draft last year. I'm calling it right now. They might make another run at this thing. The Houston Texans right now look like the worst team in the NFL, and I have them ranked at number 32. Okay, so let's finish off the podcast today. Let's go over to the other end of the spectrum, and let's count down the top five teams right now in the NFL. I know it's only week two. Again, we're basically just going off the eye test, but right now, who would I favor on a neutral field? That is always our test of the Daily Dose Power Rankings. We're going to start at the number five spot. And while this team does have a loss, and a loss that really doesn't look that good, honestly, and this team, they don't really look like themselves just yet, but I have to think that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win a lot of games this year. No, Patrick Mahomes doesn't seem to have as much help as he usually does, but he does still have tight end Travis Kelce. And he does still have his head coach, Andy Reid. The Chiefs, of course, opened up their Super Bowl defense year with that loss at home to the Detroit Lions. They made a ton of mistakes. They turned it over. They committed too many penalties. They dropped too many passes. But they kept it close, and they lost a close game. Then this past Sunday, they managed to go to Jacksonville and get a win against the Jaguars. Now, they got the win. But they again made a number of mistakes. Kansas City turned it over three times. They're not converting on third downs. And again, they're committing way too many penalties. And yet, they went into Jacksonville, a playoff contender, and beat them. Now, Kansas City looks flawed to me. We're going to see if they improve as the season progresses. I assume they will because they have Andy Reid. Or has Kansas City finally lost so many people that they're actually starting to feel it? Because they have lost people all over that roster. We'll see how that fares. Right now, I have the Chiefs at number five. We're going to move to the number four spot, where I will place the Philadelphia Eagles. Hey, Philly is, of course, the defending NFC champions, and they are 2-0. But they also haven't been pretty in those 2 weeks. The Eagles had to hold off the New England Patriots in week one, and then they squeaked out another close game against the Minnesota Vikings this past Thursday night. And it's been kind of the same in both games. They jump out to a big lead, and then they kind of hold on for dear life. I don't know how long you can do that. I actually think the Eagles may have gotten the steal of this past draft class in defensive tackle Jalen Carter. He has been dominant. Their defensive front has looked very, very good again. But right now, I'm not liking what I'm seeing from that offense. Running back DeAndre Swift, he's looked explosive at times, but he's also been bottled up at times. And the play of quarterback Jalen Hurts, I'm not going to say it's panic time, but it has me a little concerned. He's been a little erratic. He's forced some throws into some bad situations. Look, it's hard to come back with a really strong season after you lose the Super Bowl. That is a historical fact. We will see if the Eagles can stay this high. Right now, I have them at number four. At number three, I will place a team that has been highly impressive so far. Well, they've been impressive in the state of New York. And no, I'm not talking about a New York team. I'm talking about the Dallas Cowboys, who have now beaten the New York Giants and then the New York Jets by a combined score of 70-10. Yeah, the Cowboys have blown out two opponents, and yet they still haven't really played that great of football. Quarterback Dak Prescott has looked a little bit off. But their defense has looked strong. Now, what I want to see from Dallas, I want to see what they look like against better quarterbacks. Because we haven't really seen them face the best of the best. We know they will, though. They're going to get to some much better quarterbacks here in a few weeks. And I want to see if that Dallas defense looks as strong as it did against the Giants and the Jets, both of whom have a little bit of question at their quarterback, some young guys that struggle at times. But the Cowboys have been at least solid in all three phases of the game. Offense, defense, and special teams have been very good. But I do want to see a little more from them. Right now, I have the Dallas Cowboys at number three. Okay. So this next one is close for me. I struggle with it a little bit, but I am going to place the Miami Dolphins at the number two seed. And that is despite the fact that I do have some concerns about this team. The Dolphins won a shootout in week one over the Los Angeles Chargers. Then on Sunday night this past week, they held off the New England Patriots. And you know, both of those victories came on the road. That impresses me a little bit. That Miami offense, it is really impressive. Coach Mike McDaniel has Tua Tagovailoa playing so well. And wide receiver Tyreek Hill, I mean, he's just pretty much unguardable. How do you stop him? The Dolphins offense has already racked up over 800 yards in just two games. And I mean, don't forget, that Patriots defense, they're pretty good. Tua is spreading the wealth. And against New England, they showed that they can have a pretty effective run game too. It's not just throwing the ball over. They were able to run the ball pretty effectively against New England. A lot of teams struggle to do that. Do we have to hold our breath every time Tua gets hit? Yeah, we do. And I don't trust that defense completely. There are a number of times, not only do they allow teams to score on them, they allow them to score so quickly. But the Dolphins are a very solid team. They're not going to be easy to beat on a neutral field. I would favor them over every team right now, except for one. And for that reason, I have the Miami Dolphins at number two. So I will conclude our Daily Dose NFL Power Rankings with the number one team. And right now, I would list that as the San Francisco 49ers, who have looked very strong on both sides of the ball. And in both weeks they have played so far. In week one, they completely dominated the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then this past week, they held on to beat the Los Angeles Rams. Now, that didn't sound so great going into the season, but I don't know. The Rams are starting to make me think they might be a little bit better than expected. That defense looks stronger. Matt Stafford looks healthy. I think that might be a better win than it looks like at first glance. The 49ers, though, they just look like the most complete team in the National Football League. The defense is capable of controlling games. They can force turnovers on literally any play of the game. And then that offense with Christian McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. I mean, George Kittle is kind of forgotten. That offense is kind of unfair. I know we still have questions about quarterback Brock Purdy, but he has looked very solid so far. And then head coach Kyle Shanahan, he's just so good at putting his players in the best situation to be successful. And they do that just so well that it just allows San Francisco to be so dangerous offensively. The San Francisco 49ers right now are the top team in the Daily Dose NFL Power Rankings. Hey, like I said, though, the NFL is just 2 weeks in. We have so much further to go. Every year, we know we have teams that rise up. They surprise us. They make the playoffs. We never saw it coming. And every year, we have teams that look like a lock. They're going to be in the playoffs. They might even be a Super Bowl contender. And they finished down among the bottom. Now, will any of these teams that made either of our lists today have that drastic rise or fall? It is still possible. Anything can happen from week to week in this crazy league. We see it every single year. Hey, next week on The Dose, of course, we are going to be talking much more about football in the world of both college and the NFL. But, you know, maybe your team has started out a little slow. I know mine has. At what point is it okay for a fan base to full-on start smashing that panic button? Well, for a number of teams, you can begin hitting it like yesterday. But for others, we're going to encourage you to hold off for just a little bit. Things just might turn around. So make sure you tune into the Daily Dose and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new things going up there every week. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the podcast, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
It was revealed today that O.J. Simpson told police that Nicole Brown Simpson used to beat him up. He also claimed that she and Ron Goldman killed him.